Welcome to Moments in Truth. I am your host, GT Stikes. The purpose of Moments in Truth is to give you a few minutes of encouragement by providing simple truths from God's Word, identified and explained from a biblical worldview. And today we are considering in Dad's Daily Devotionals, is it a religion or is it a relationship? And for this, we are going back to January 29th, 2016. The beginning verse is Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14, which says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Dad writes, number one, religion tends to focus on tradition. Too many, religion is ritual, liturgy, doing and keeping everything the way it has always been, and don't dare mention change. Number two, religion tempts one to walk so as to please other people. Now, this is common, even in many of our good churches. People begin to imitate people and please people instead of our Lord. This one has really bothered me as a pastor. It is sad when people emulating people are praised and encouraged in this fallacy. Number three, religion blends one into the crowd. Now, this will fill a church auditorium during a traditional service, but it fails to produce godly servants. James chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Now, genuine religion requires action and motivates changes in people that produces mature Christians who love the Lord and have a sincere desire to serve him. Number four, religion tends to disguise the heart by the use of words. Now, picking up the language in the average church comes fairly easy, but true Christianity is far more than just knowing the language. A hearty amen now and then might only be covering up an immature heart. That is not to say that all who shout amen now and then are immature. Number five, religion tends to not involve the heart. Many people attend churches where a ritualistic service takes place, but there is no genuine worship. Even in our good churches, there are many who simply go through the motions. Author and pastor Warren Wiersbe states that worship is the believer's response of all that he is, mind, emotions, will, and body to all that God is, says, and does. It requires our recognizing who God is and what he has done on our behalf that motivates the proper response of adoration and praise. Number six, religion tends to leave one empty and unfulfilled. No changes take place within the soul when we are just going through the motions. Now, in the church service, it is easy to observe the blank stares. You might expect to hear them say, "Nice sermon, Pastor," on the way out, but many go away without any communication between them and the Lord. Number seven, religion has a tendency to diminish the authority of God's word. Now, religion is defined as an organized system of beliefs, ceremonies, and rules used to worship a god or a group of gods, according to Webster. Now, the aspects of relationship and responsibility are totally removed from that definition. Religion is accepted as a good thing as long as there is no accountability attached. In the Garden of Eden, Satan said, "Hath God said," in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Satan questioned God's authority and continues to do it through the lives of millions today who claim to be religious. Number eight, religion can leave me unchanged by God. Now, when a person enters into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that person is changed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Religion cannot accomplish this change. Genuine change takes place internally and manifests itself outwardly. When you share the gospel with others on some regular basis, you will find many who have religion, but they do not have Christ. People will say, "We have our faith," but they cannot tell you what their faith is in. Now, there is no object involved. Faith is a verb and must have an object, and Jesus Christ is the object of genuine faith. Now, the Apostle Paul did not always hold the office of an apostle. Prior to his salvation experience recorded in Acts chapter 9, he had nothing more than religion. In fact, we should recognize that he was among the most religious people of his day, according to Acts chapter 26 and verse 5 and Galatians chapter 1 verses 13 through 14. Later, Paul saw himself as the chief of sinners who obtained mercy. Now, thank God for his mercy in your life today. What a privilege it is to possess a personal relationship with God instead of just having religion. Now, perhaps it is religious people that have caused many to turn from believing in God to even atheism. What a joy it is to know that the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations, according to Psalm chapter 100 and verse 5. Now, the outline that I gave, statements 1 through 8, come from a message preached by Pastor Reed Anderson, which was sent to me by Pastor Chuck Wood, a retired pastor in Indiana. Each of us ought to be asking ourselves if we have a vital relationship to God through Christ or only religion. Well, give some thought as to how others see you from day to day. Do they recognize you in a vital relationship with God through Christ Jesus? Or do they simply see you as religious? Well, this is a great question for us to ask in our lives as to how we respond in the way that we think all the way to how we respond to someone who asks us about our religion or our relationship. Personally, I have never thought of myself as being very religious, but I do consider myself as having a strong relationship with God. Looking back in my formative years, I remember mimicking my dad, as many young people do mimic their fathers. I would play church and find an audience of one or two friends who would sit in seats in front of me while I led them in a song and taught a lesson from the Bible, oftentimes a story that I saw in Flannograph played out in Sunday school. So much of my pastoring today is taken from examples that I learned from watching and listening to my dad. One thing in particular that I remember him teaching me, even at a young age, that I still hold on to today is this: don't worry about what others think. Worry about what God thinks. Dad taught God's word unashamedly. And there were times in his ministry that I remember some people not liking what he had to say, but that did not stop him from speaking the truth in love. Dad taught me that if I teach what the Bible says, there will be those that will not always appreciate the message, but it is still important to preach and to teach what God lays on your heart, no matter what. Now, this makes me think of Jesus talking to his disciples in John chapter 15, verses 18 through 19. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Now, over time, and through different experiences, Dad showed me that sticking to what you know to be right is not always easy, but it is always very important if God has led you to it. And Dad showed me that there are times when there will be people in your life, maybe at your job or at your school, who will hate you because of your love for Christ. Now, there may even be people in your church or in your own family, but that should not change your message. Now, that truth has been very helpful to me today, even speaking on very difficult subjects in places that I had not expected to have a voice. Now you might ask, is it worth it? Having a voice for Jesus, but being hated in return? And to that, I would give a resounding yes. And if you want to know why, I would encourage you to read John chapter 12, verses 25 through 26. Well, let me pray for you today. Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray for the listeners today that you would draw them closer to you, that they would have a desire to have a relationship with you and not just be religious. I pray that you would bring your blessing to the faithful, that you would encourage the downtrodden, and that you would lead those that need to build that relationship to see what a relationship with you is all about. Lord, I pray for all of us that we would be faithful to you, that we would speak truth of your word in love, and that we would not back down out of fear from other people. I pray that you would guide the listeners today in their spiritual battles, that they would have victory over the enemy and learn to have joy in the midst of their circumstances. Lord, I thank you for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, don't miss our next episode of Dad's Daily Devotionals. We have one episode left, a very special episode where we get to hear from others about the impact in their lives from my dad, George Stikes. Well, thank you for listening to Moments in Truth with GT Stikes. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen to today's podcast. We would love for more people to hear the truth of God's word. And you can help us reach more people by sharing, following, and subscribing to this podcast. Please be sure to check today's show notes for links to any additional resources, encouragements, and how you can help with this ministry.